Morning, everybody. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. And we are going to read from verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before you this morning to seek after you and to hear from you, Lord. And we always just have this desire, Lord, to draw near to you and and to know your heart, Lord. And Lord, would you just come this morning and speak to us? Lord, would you use me to speak your word and to do it in a fashion that would really reveal your heart, God, to us. And Lord, we just pray for ears and a heart to really understand and embrace your truth, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, this was one of the verses that Pastor Nate referenced two Sundays ago as he did his message on blessed are the gentle. Also, same as blessed are the meek. And he used this to reference that Jesus was also meek, because Jesus spoke this. And it was a, you know, you should check it out. He did a great job on presenting meekness and had amazing illustrations where he used his parents as an example. And at House Church, some of the discussion, fruitful discussion that kind of came up was, as we talk about meekness and you know, as we use that word, you know, gentle, what is the difference between the world's view of meekness or being gentle, and what's the difference between God's view, or you could say Holy Spirit-led meekness? What's the difference, right? Because Nate kind of said, oh, you know, some people are just naturally inclined to be meek, gentle. So that's not just Christians, right? Everybody, some people are just born that way. So what is the difference between worldly meekness and God-led Holy Spirit meekness? Let you think about that for a sec. And the conclusion that was made was worldly meekness is oftentimes, or I should say, meekness that is not from the Holy Spirit is very self-seeking. So you could see this, for example, in the world where someone might seem very meek and gentle in the marketplace, where they're very considerate all the time, and you know, they're always asking, oh, like, how would you like to do this, and blah, 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 blah. However, what's it all comes down to the heart. What's going in the heart? And in that instance where someone could, in the world, might be seem like they're very helpful and considerate and gentle, they could be doing it with the motive of they want to please others, right? They're seeking out man's approval. They're worried all the time what the peers might think or what their boss thinks. So seemingly they're meek because they're trying to seek out the approval. Or another illustration of this meekness that's worldly could be. They're doing it, but actually they're just manipulating, right? They're trying to, you know, vie for position and seem like they're very helpful and very caring, but they might not care at all, right? They're just putting up this front. And you could see this even Christians will, might not be meek. Just because you're Christian doesn't mean you're meek, right? Okay, let me say what the Christian meek looks like. And then, so that's the worldly meek, where it's very self-seeking. But as a Holy Spirit, as one of the flavors of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you know, gentleness, what it looks like is, and this is one of the definitions that was from the Greek word. I forgot what the Greek word was. But it was strength under control. Strength under control. And what that looks like is that strength is from God, right? Because we are so poor in spirit and we are so humbled that we know we can't do it by our own strength, that how this meekness is manifested in the way we treat people is we don't need to prove ourselves, right? We don't need to prove ourselves, and thus we can be so considerate. And the best way I can say where we maybe as a church we need to do this more, and we see this in Jesus as well, as Nate referenced Jesus, is we need to be meek in the way even we go about God's will, right? Because oftentimes, like say I get a vision about something and I feel really convicted, but how you go about implementing it is just as important, right? Someone, a leader who is not meek may very much just say, hey, I heard from God, everybody do it, right? This is the will, you just do it and listen to me. You know, Janie, I heard from God, we should do this. So here's God's will, do it. And we need to do God's will. And we need to be obedient. But someone who is meek is very considerate, right, and very gentle. So even though you hear the vision of God, like, and God's will, you don't just say do it. You say, for instance, hey, Janella, hey, I just heard this from God. What do you think? How do you feel? And it's very different, right? The way you go about it. Because, again, it's not self-seeking. It's not self-seeking. It's not about you. It's because God is again, God has given you such security. Even if people disagree, it's okay because God has given you that security, but you would be very considerate in it, right? So anyway, that was just some of our discussion during house church, but you should definitely listen to Pastor Nate's sermon. It's much fuller. And the reason I bring it up again is, of course, we're on doing the Beatitudes, and that's more about it's about how we should live, right? But as we talked about meekness and as Pina pointed to this verse, it's like we gotta look back at Jesus. And Jesus is meek. Jesus is meek, and that's important because that's the way he treats us, right? Sometimes we think he's so mean, or God is so mean and so, you know, always just like do it. But he's meek, so he's even then, he's very considerate, right? And even with my personal experience, when God wants you to do something, he gets it done, and, you know, you end up doing it. But the way he gets you to do it is always so gentle, so considerate. So again, back to this verse, because it gave me kind of a newfound depth and appreciation as he within this verse, because now it's Jesus, right? So we start off with come to me, come to me. So already, oh, so profound. Jesus says come, right? Whereas for many of us, so naturally, people need our help. We might point them and reference them to other people. Oh, you need, oh shoot, I don't know how to handle that situation. Or that seems pretty serious or needy. And we go, oh, hey, I know someone. But Jesus simply says, come, come. Come to me. And that, in this verse or in this chapter, it also reveals to, I guess, the Jews that he is the Messiah, right? Who else can say that? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And then he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And see, this invitation to come is not to everybody. He's very specific, right? All those who are weary and heavy laden. And what's the difference between weary and heavy laden? The difference is, in some translations, rather than the word weary, it's the word labor. Come to me, all those who labor and are heavy laden. So the difference is, weary is something that happens or is done to you by yourself, right? So labor, you know, you work hard, and through that process, you get really tired. Heavy laden, and I believe in Matthew 28, it's referenced to, well, but basically, heavy laden is weariness that is caused by other people. So even in Matthew 28, Jesus talks about the Pharisees, how they're being a stumbling block and causing others to be heavy laden, right? So come to me, all those who are weary and heavy laden. It's an invitation to those who are thus in the need, who are hungry. And I will give you rest. And then it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And for a long time, it always, I don't know why, I just had a lot of trouble understanding yoke. I don't know, off the bat, I just always think of eggs. But eventually, you know, I really took a look at, wow, what is this yoke? And a yoke is, for oxen when they I guess, plow the field. And a yoke is something that rests upon, it looks like a bar, and then under the bar there's like U's. So it's kind of like an M. And under each rounded part, one rests on one oxen, and the other rests upon another oxen. And the whole point of the yoke, as it rests upon them, is to they can be guided. So in this verse, when it says, take my yoke upon you, and there's different types of yokes, right? There's the yoke of the world. There's the yoke of being popular. There's just the yoke of fame, the yoke of, you know, self-righteousness. But he's saying, take my yoke. So it's saying, take my guidance, right? There's many different things, different yokes, and they can guide you in a different way. And it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So in this essence, he's saying, take my guidance and also learn from me. And off the bat already, it's like, oh, okay, take my guidance, learn from me. And I think through our experiences growing up, perhaps with our strict Asian fathers, or, you know, if we come from a strict Asian culture, oftentimes that being under guidance, learn from me, from what we've experienced, could really be the experience of just do it, right? That's my experience growing up. Like, if my father, it was a cultural thing, his upbringing transferred to my upbringing. If he asked you to do something, you just did it. I always gave the worst answer ever when he told me to do something, and it would make him so angry. I said, why? I just wanted to understand. Like, you do this. Oh, how come? Just do it because I said so. I'm your father. So that's our experience, right? But Jesus, so different, so nice, so gentle. He says, take my yoke. Let me guide you. Learn from me as I teach you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, right? And as we shared, this gentleness that Jesus has, this meekness is so considerate, right? He will teach you and he will guide you, but it'll be so different from what we've experienced in terms of from our parents perhaps, or even from our earthly teachers that we've experienced. He is gentle. He is so considerate. He's thinking of where you're coming from. And I just got reminded. I just saw this Facebook video, and maybe all of you know it because it's one of those videos that gone viral. And it's a text-based like slideshow, and it talks about a teacher. And a teacher has a really difficult student, right? And ask him to do something, never does it, always falling asleep in class, and she ends up just ignoring him, basically. It's like, forget you. And in the end, she just so happens to, like, oh, okay, like, look at his report history. Has anyone seen this video? Nobody. Okay. He looks at this child's report history. And then in grade one, it says, oh, he's such an excellent, I might be butchering this, he's such an excellent student, wonderful, such a joy. Grade two, he's like, oh, this student is going through a crisis right now. His mom is like suffering from, you know, some illness. Next grade three is like, oh, actually, this student is really suffering. His mom just passed away and is starting to be withdrawn. Grade four, and it's like, oh, he's now very antisocial. If this keeps up, it will really be detrimental to his life. And anyway, so this teacher finds out, like, about this child just from this report, that suddenly this child, you know, he's not just a bad kid, right? He's not just naughty, but a series of things have happened into his life. And the story goes, at the culmination of this story is it was Christmas, so all the kids get the teacher a gift, and this child ends up giving the teacher something like secondhand, maybe some item of clothes, I don't remember, and a half-used bottle of perfume. Oh no, it was a bracelet with like rhinestones, but it was like half like falling out, half, and a bottle of perfume. And then the teacher knows the child's background now, and it basically receives this gift, and all the kids are like, oh, what is this? Like kind of making fun of her, but she knows her background, and she's like, oh, wow, and like, this is so beautiful. I love it. She puts on the bracelet, and then she takes their perfume and puts it on. And all the kids are like, oh, okay, so they shush. And then I guess after class, basically the child says to her, oh, like, this is, basically, this was the perfume that his mother wore. So now he gets to smell it, and it reminds him of her. And then she breaks down crying and really starts to invest into this child's life and care about this child's life. And as a result, he, like, total 180. Anyway, all to say, that's Jesus, right? Although this woman, it took a chance situation for her to end up really being caring and considerate. That's Jesus, right? So meek, so gentle, as he teaches you, as he guides you, he's so considerate of you. And this is And I missed this part after he says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, for you will find rest for your souls. For I find rest." Isn't that what we all want, end of the day? Right? Actually, this is the promise that we have even coming to Christ, is that we would find rest in our soul. We're so stressed. We have so many heavy yokes and heavy burdens. And what we're seeking is to find rest in our soul, that we would be settled, we would be satisfied, we would find rest and peace. And that's what Jesus offers us. And he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what does that mean? My yoke is easy. Again, I always think of eggs. Over easy. So I was like, what? And I think part of me understands, like, oh yeah, over easy. And then I'm just like, but what does it mean? So the word easy in Greek actually means well fit. Like something, when something fits very well together. And as we think about a yoke, again, something that rests upon you and guides you, he's saying, this is, for my yoke is easy, is saying, because again, usually there's two, right? He's saying, this disciple relationship that we're connected by is a good fit, right? This is a good relationship, right? And for my burden is light. My burden is light. Again, he doesn't say there's no burden. There is burden, right? And I think sometimes we might be like, oh yeah, okay. We see the word easy and we see the word light. So, okay, great. If I come to him, and then take his yoke, then my life will be easy and my life and the burdens I have to carry, or I'll have no more burdens because it'll be so light. Wrong. When it's saying easy, it's saying we are well fit together and my burden is light. What does that mean? My burden is light. Oftentimes when two oxen are yoked together, right, there will often be a older, more experienced, a stronger oxen that is yoked with an inexperienced, weaker yoken. And what happens is, it's basically kind of to teach this oxen, but he's also carrying, the older oxen is carrying more of the burden, right? And when it says that my burden is light, what Jesus is saying is you will never have to carry the burden alone. And that's the promise that God gave us, right? It's not that life will be easy. It's not that no bad things, there will be no suffering, but his promise is that he will always carry the burden with you. And thus, my burden is light. And you can just imagine the picture of an oxen and then, you know, two oxen together. Whatever they do, wherever they're guided, they're together, side by side. And that is also the picture that we have of Jesus, right? As he is with us, right beside us, right? Guiding you, with you, and carrying that weight, and maybe even a bigger weight on his shoulders. So, let's close our eyes, and as Janelle comes, so what Jesus offers in the end is that you would find rest for your soul. Find your rest for your soul. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Do you have rest? Is your soul rested right now? Do you have peace, shalom in your soul? And if the answer is no, if you are feeling burdened, if you're feeling weary and heavy laden, then I submit to you, maybe you don't have the yoke of Jesus. Maybe you are carrying a different yoke. A yoke of works, a yoke of self-righteousness, self-reliance. Maybe you don't have the yoke of Jesus. But great news, as Jesus has invited you to come and take that yoke. So let me just, I'm going to read the verse again, and let these words, the word of God, speak to your heart. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you. Just as 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave an invitation to his disciples, and he said, "Come, follow me." And that same invitation is extended to us, "Come and follow me." So let's spend some time in prayer and just commit to following him, to aligning ourselves with Jesus, to let his yoke, that we would submit ourselves to his yoke to be upon us as well. For he is so gentle and meek and just so good. Yes, Jesus, we say yes to you and the yoke that you so lovingly offer to us, Lord. We wish to learn. We wish to be guided and follow you. And Lord, would you give us rest? You offer rest for our souls, Lord. And we recognize that this rest for our soul, that this peace that transcends all understanding is only something that can be provided by you, Lord. We cannot find this in the world or work towards it, Lord. Only through you, only as we come before you, Lord, can we find it, Lord. So help us to just submit ourselves, to relinquish the things of this world, other yokes, God, that we might be under. Help us, Holy Spirit, to break those off of us, to really lay those things down and just be able to take your yoke upon us, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Let's pray for our community. First slide. Let's cover our loved ones who are suffering from cancer, as well as those who are recovering. through chemo and radiation therapy. So we'll cover the community who are sick but also in need of the word of salvation, that we would go about it meekly but also boldly. For those who are also sick, suffering from infirmities, for full restoration. Pray for those looking for jobs on the list. Let's pray for God to open doors, but also for God's guidance into the right job in the right time as well. Cover our church on Thursday prayers. Let's first start with our mission focus. Let's cover Singapore SPSG, Pastor Sam Kim and Annie and the board. Let's cover Indonesia. So that would encompass SPIN, our Indonesian SP ministry in Hong Kong, as well as Pastor Salaman and Mimi and their leaders. Let's also cover SP Seoul as they're still, establishing and driving their church plant. That would be Eunsung and Janice. Let's lift up our prayer and healing ministries, IP, The Well, and River. Let's pray for God's anointing and protection. And let's cover, I know River is just relaunching right now. So let's cover their ministry as well as all the new members and the training that they're receiving. covered the education ministries, Noah's Ark, P. Mary Neeling, SP Youth, P. Nate, and SPU, P. Ricky, and P. Andrew. Let's pray for anointing for young people to encounter God. For Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for the teams to really have God's heart, and that they would have the heart to really communicate and share the message of Christ. I mean, essentially, this verse today, come to me who are all who are weary and heavy laden, that they would share that and give that invitation. Cover the house churches today, Elements House Church and Olympic. Let's pray that the house church would have such a wonderful time of fellowship, as well as just a very fruitful and pleasing discussion to God, that they would just go deeper and really encourage and sharpen one another as they talk about the blessing of neediness. Father, Lord, we, just from today's passage, as well as the worship, the lyrics from the worship, Lord, we just come to realize how good you are, and you offer so much to us, Lord, so much of yourself, just so much, and all that you ask for us is just to come, that's all we have to do, just to respond. So Lord, I just pray that we would come, that we would respond to your call, and just embrace you, and just come into this easy yoke, just into this relationship that is so well fit, Lord, just as you created us, just as you designed it. That we would come into this relationship that would be so fitting, Lord. So we just thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for being in control, that our lives are in the palm of your hand, even when outside of that palm, it seems like things are out of control, that are beyond us. But we are always resting in your palm, in the comfort of your love, of your grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I just pray over everyone here this morning. I pray that you would bless our spirits, connect to the Holy Spirit, and lead our body and soul. We thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please continue to spend time, and have a great day.